Carlson, midterms a chance to render judgment on unprecedented moral atrocities of the last 2 years. By Jeff Poor on October 18, 2022. Monday, FNC host Tucker Carlson called the November 8 midterm elections a referendum on the party in power. The Fox News host called next month's election an opportunity for voters to render judgment on unprecedented moral atrocities. Transcript as follows. Carlson, we are going to start the week by doing something we rarely do, which is bombarding you with political clichés. We usually leave that to MSNBC. But we're going to tell you what you already know, which is midterm elections are always and everywhere a referendum on the party in power. That's true. That's true this year, too. But this year, they are not just that. They're more than that. In just 22 days, Americans will have the chance to render judgment on the unprecedented moral atrocities our leadership class has committed over the past 2 years. The shameless lying, the arrogance, the stupidity, the total incompetence, the unfairness, the relentless and vicious racism toward the majority of the American population, all of which together amount to, yes, attacks on democracy itself. If you believed in democracy, you would not act like this. No one has ever run a developed country with this degree of recklessness. The question is anyone ever going to be punished for it? That's what's really on the ballot this November 8th. So, for Republicans, the election should be easy. Not that you should ever for a second underestimate their ability to screw it up anyway. They may. But the template for success is right in front of them. Just run against Joe Biden. There may be people out there who feel sorry for Joe Biden, but there's absolutely nobody who thinks or can argue with a straight face that he is doing a good job because he's not. So, just say that. You're not the Biden candidate. Run on the economy and crime, homelessness. It's everywhere, have you noticed, fentanyl and on what Joe Biden has done to our southern border. Stick to the obvious issues and you're probably going to win. How could you not? Surveys show that voters care most about inflation, jobs, and immigration. As it turns out, those are exactly the issues, according to a recent Harvard-Harris poll, that voters also believe are the top priorities of the Republican Party. So, this is a moment Republicans rarely see. It's a moment where there's total alignment between their priorities and the priorities of the electorate. Again, that doesn't happen very often. That same poll, if you dig a little deeper, shows that voters believe Democrats, by contrast, are fixated above all on January 6th. Oh, yes, January 6th, the QAnon insurrection. January 6th, where Nancy Pelosi's cops opened the doors and let protesters walk inside, all of whom are now nevertheless classified as dangerous felon revolutionaries, except for Ray Epps, who for some reason is still a good guy. Okay, Democrats, that's a story they're running on. Lots of luck. January 6th might make for a spicy CNN segment, but it is not a governing platform. Who's voting on that? Nobody. At least one candidate seems to understand that. It would be John Fetterman, actually. Fetterman may have brain damage, but he's one of the very few Democratic office seekers who has bothered to explain what he might actually do if he's elected. Here is John Fetterman at a recent event getting specific about his governing platform. Begin video clip. John Fetterman, D., Pennsylvania Senate candidate. Send me to Washington, D.C. to take on, to make sure I push back against work to work. End video clip. Carlson, do you hear that? If the voters of Pennsylvania send John Fetterman to Washington, Fetterman promises to push back against work to work. No more work to work. You can hear a man in the audience cheering as Fetterman says that. That man gets it. He knows how badly we need to fight the hidden epidemic of work-to-work. This work-to-work pipeline is literally, literally killing people and John Fetterman will put an end to it. No more work-to-work. So, there's that, the anti-work-to-work platform, whatever that might be. The other thing that Democrats are running on, the thing they believe we need a lot more of is of course, abortion, and you can see why. As Yahoo! News dutifully reported the other day, America is facing a diaper crisis and the anti-abortion movement may not be helping. So really what you have here is a classic demand-side approach to the ongoing diaper and formula shortages. Just don't have kids, Dumbo, and then you won't need diapers. You also won't need a house or a car or a raise or extra food or money for college tuition. It's pretty simple. When you get to this point, and this point is a place where the economy is so completely distorted that only Democratic donors can still afford to have normal families. When you get there, the solution is simple: don't reproduce. Childlessness is the cure for the economy they created, and that's why abortion is so very important, especially now. We don't have enough diapers. How dare you? It's so important the Democrats say they want to eliminate the filibuster to bring back more abortion. Once again, here is John Fetterman. Begin video clip. Fetterman: my name is John Fetterwoman. You know what I would do if I was that 51st vote? First, rid of the filibuster. Go. Right next, codify Roe. Abortion is on the ballot now in November. End video clip. Carlson: yes, now or in November or whenever the election is. Let's be completely honest, there is no chance that guy is going to win, and of course, Pennsylvania is a purple state, and of course, he's running against a guy who has been attacked a lot, Dr. Oz. Of course, he has the backing of every Democrat up and down the chain in Washington. But let's be real. That guy in the U.S. Senate? Refuse to believe it. But it's not just Fetterman. Every Democrat is now talking like this, even ones who technically identify as women. They're not just John Fetter women. They're actually identified as women, women, whatever that means now. At the White House today, Karine Jean-Pierre said that abortion restrictions, which apparently are not relevant to her, but she still cares a lot, are not just disturbing, but also dangerous. To whom, you wonder? She didn't get specific on that. And then in Arizona, Katie Hobbs, who is running for office there against Carrie Lake, just went on CNN to announce that not only is she pro-choice, she will not support any restriction on abortion ever, anywhere, under any circumstances. Here she is. Begin video clip. Dana Bash, CNN anchor and political correspondent: do you support any legal limits on abortion in Arizona? Katie Hobbs, D, Arizona gubernatorial candidate: look, the fact is right now that we are under an extreme 15-week ban. Bash: what do you support? Hobbs: look, when you're talking about late-term abortion, that is incredibly, extremely rare. Bash: but what do you support? What should the limits be? Hobbs: the decision about abortion should be between a patient and their doctor. Bash: so, there should be no limits in the law? It should only be decided in the medical office? Hobbs: government making these kind of mandates interferes with the care that doctors need to provide to their patients. They don't belong in these decisions. Bash: okay. So just to be clear, if you become governor, you will push for a law that has absolutely no limits in any point of the pregnancy on abortion? Hobbs: politicians don't belong in those decisions. End video clip. Carlson: if Katie Hobbs loses, it looks like she's going to. Praise God. Dash, you hope for her sake that she'll spend a little bit of time asking herself, maybe in seclusion, how did I get here? How did someone like me, with no obvious skills, unable to speak or think, how did I wind up running for the highest office in the state of Arizona? Maybe I should have done something else in my life. But in the meantime, you have to kind of marvel at how out of touch people like this are. If you listen to unhappy middle-aged liberals like Katie Hobbs, you would think that hundreds of millions of Americans are lying awake at night, night after night, terrified they might not be able to get that federally subsidized late-term sex-selective abortion they've been dreaming about. They want it, but they can't have it. Potentially, maybe in Mississippi, if they were to go there and get pregnant, which they won't, but whatever. It's just wrong, and that's clearly Katie Hobbs' main fear. But it's definitely not the concern of most people, and we know this for a fact. The latest New York Times poll, probably not slanted to the right, finds that only 5% of Americans list abortion as their top priority. Keep in mind, that's both pro and con, both pro-choice and pro-life, just 5%. So whatever you think of Roe v. Wade being overturned politically, this is not a powerful issue, actually. It's a boutique issue. If democracy were functioning as a democracy, it is supposed to function where the people, the broad bulk of people, have a voice in government. In fact, they're supposed to control government. Most people aren't that interested, and Democrats know that. They have pollsters, too, but because abortion is all their donors care about, they can't stop talking about it. It tells you a lot. No wonder Katie Hobbs is refusing to debate her opponent Carrie Lake. Can you imagine getting up on stage and saying, This is a decision. This is a medical decision between a patient and her doctor. To which Carrie Lake might say, like a vaccine? Your body, your choice? How does that work? It's not actually your body or your choice. You only told us that, Katie Hobbs. It's the politician's choice what goes into your body or what comes out. But we're never going to see that because she refuses to debate. So, this is the Democrats' platform, January 6th and abortions. That's what they're running on, sort of. But actually, the real thing they're running on, their main platform is fantasy, denial. None of the problems you may have noticed, and it's hard to ignore them or not see them. But none of them in Biden's America are real. There is no recession. It's not a recession. That's racist. Stop saying that. There's no fentanyl crisis, at least not in Ukraine, where it matters. How many Ukrainians are dying of fentanyl? Not many. Okay, no problem, and to the extent there actually are problems in this country. The United States of America, Republicans did it. So, Robert Reich at one point was a high government official. High may be a weird way to describe him, but he served in the Clinton administration. He was reputed to be a smart guy. Robert Reich just wrote a long piece explaining that rising crime is actually the fault of the Republican Party because guns. Rising crime rates are due to the proliferation of guns. Okay, why is it that the states with the lowest crime rates also have the highest gun ownership rates? No one believes this. Not a single person believes this. If you're trying to tell voters that QAnon somehow defunded the police, they're not going to buy it, and in fact, people are tired of being lied to at this level. It's too obvious. They know crime is real. They're afraid of it, and they know exactly why it spiked under Joe Biden, because they defunded the police. They intimidated police who were still serving into not enforcing the law, and in every possible case, they sided with the criminal, the antisocial, anti-human savages who are murdering people, pushing them in front of subway trains. They have rights. Really? What about the rights of the person pushed in front of the subway train? Oh, shut up, racist. Right? Got it. People aren't buying this anymore. No one is buying it, and that's why Lee Zeldin, congressman from Suffolk County, New York, has apparently caught up to Kathy Hochul, the unelected governor of New York. Why is Lee Zeldin doing so well? It's not just his sparkling personality. It's because he's running ads like this one. Begin video clip. Narrator: there is no question that this fear of crime is real. Unidentified male, then without warning, he turned to violence and continued. Narrator: you are looking at actual violent crimes caught on camera in Kathy Hochul's New York, and it's getting much worse on Kathy Hochul's watch. On November 8th, vote like your life depends on it. It just might. Lee Zeldin for governor because it's time our families feel safe again. End video clip. Carlson: what's the answer to that? What? That it's not real? Those are crisis actors? No. The answer is shut up and look away, racist. Don't notice it as your society degrades. But people who do notice it and say so out loud are doing very well. J.D. Vance in Ohio is one of them. He is the fortunate running against Tim Ryan, the congressman from Youngstown, who in 2019 called for ending cash bail not just in Ohio, but nationwide. Watch. Begin video clip. Gene Ruska, ACLU: we are seeing states end cash bail, state by state. Would you support that nationally? Rep. Tim Ryan, DO: yes. I think the bail system is inherently unfair, and what it does is it sets people down a spiral of not being able to go to work, not being able to take care of the kids, then you have adverse childhood experiences. Those traumatizing experiences for kids lead to mental health issues, physical health issues, obviously behavioral issues, so I would be for eliminating it. End video clip. Carlson: oh, just eliminate it. Now, keep in mind, Ryan was supposed to be the new kind of Democrat, which is to say the old kind of Democrat, the working man's Democrat who understood that you have to have a functioning society or else you can't continue. But if you actually listen to him, he's just another cringing NPR liberal like the rest of them, advocating for bail reform. Really? We know how that ends. It's been the single most deadly social experiment we have seen in decades. In New York, lawmakers enacted bail reform in 2019, and as a result of that, judges can no longer consider the danger posed by suspects when deciding whether to keep them in jail. Really? You can't consider the danger they will pose to the public? Isn't that the whole point? Not anymore. So, when the bail reform law took effect in New York in 2020, police in New York arrested thousands more violent criminals who already had active open cases against them. In other words, people who should have been locked up and would have been under the old system. But they weren't because of bail reform, they were out terrorizing and murdering new people, and the numbers show it. Major crimes are up nearly 40% this year in New York, 40% in 1 year. So, that's a complete disaster, and it hurts, as always, the weakest among us. But instead of acknowledging that, much as addressing it, Democrats and the media are telling you, if you notice it, you're the criminal. Watch. Begin video clip. Joy Reid, MSNBC host, less th in 5 weeks to the midterms, and Republicans are pulling out all the old fear and loathing playbook, trying to scare voters about crime. Kimberly Atkins, Boston Globe, we saw J.D. Vance harping on the issue of crime and talking and linking it to things like illegal immigration. Those are the types of issues, the things that drive fear. David Jolly, MSNBC political analyst. The issue of crime and the issue of immigration have long been proxies for race. For playing the race card, for trying to scare voters to vote Republicans because of the encroachment of black and brown people. Christina Greer, Fordham professor, essentially the fear of black people coming into your communities. It's the fear of immigrants coming into your communities. It's the fear of Latinos coming to your communities, and Republicans have used this language time and time again to scare their voters into going along with their policies. End video clip. Carlson, you really hope that November 8th is the beginning of the end of the hegemony of the tiny-brained, cringing liberal, the lifestyle liberals who really wreck this country, the people you just saw on MSNBC. You hope that their reign is over because they have done so much damage and their hypocrisy is impossible to miss. These are the ones who cheered as the beleaguered residents of Martha's Vineyard deported 50 illegal aliens to a military base. Get off our island. Now they're telling you that you're the one who's afraid of migrants in your community because you're a racist. The shamelessness goes right to the top. Of course, it does. Here's Joe Biden on Saturday. Begin video clip. Reporter, are you concerned about the strength of the dollar right now? Joe Biden, President of the United States. I'm not concerned about the strength of the dollar. I'm concerned about the rest of the world. Does that make sense? Reporter, can you explain that? Biden, yes, our economy is strong as hell. End video clip. Carlson, I'm not concerned about our economy. I'm concerned about Ukraine. Our economy is strong as hell. Really? Have you looked at markets? It's not just tycoons who care. That's where your retirement account is. It's way down. And by the way, day to day, you notice inflation. We have record inflation. We can go on about it. We have many times, but you already know. They are telling you, yes, we have inflation, because it's kind of hard to deny their own fake cooked numbers reflect it. What they're telling you for now is that Republicans are responsible for it. They did this. Remember the Inflation Reduction Act? So much for that. Joe Biden is now saying, we're quoting, if Republicans in Congress get their way, prices will go up and inflation will get worse. It's that simple. Really? Tell us how that works. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's like eating the cookies right in front of you. You ate the cookies. No, you ate the cookies. It's sick, actually. So, they're telling you that if you vote Republican, you're going to get a lot more of the things that you don't like that they created. By the way, if you don't vote for Democrats, border security will actually get worse, too, but for now, it's not a crisis. Relax, racists. There are no drugs or criminals or terrorists coming over the border from Mexico. This isn't some intentional attempt to change the population of the United States, even though Democrats have said so many times on camera. Watch. Begin video clip. Stacey Abrams, D., Georgia gubernatorial candidate, blue wave is African American. It's white. It's Latino. It's Asian Pacific Islander. It is made up of those who have been told that they are not worthy of being here. It is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented. Julian Castro, former U.S. HUD secretary. In a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night. You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics. Senator Dick Durbin, DEL, the demographics of America are not on the side of the Republican Party. The new voters in this country are moving away from them and instead they're moving to be independents or even vote on the other side. End video clip. Carlson, there he was, tiny Dick Durbin admitting that by design. America's population is changing faster than in any country in history. And you are required to conclude that is a great thing. You must celebrate it and if you don't, you're evil. But you also can't acknowledge it's happening. In other words, it's not real and it's a very good thing that it is. So, if it's not real, who are these people coming into the United States? Well, according to CNN, 99% of them are law-abiding. Watch Carrie Lake, who's running for governor of Arizona, respond to that. Begin video clip. Bash, DHS says that less than 1% of migrants encountered at the border have a criminal record. But I want to stick on the question of asylum. Those that do meet the criteria, should they be allowed to stay in this country? And do you think that what the current governor, Doug Ducey, has done sending some of the migrants to Washington, D.C., is the right thing to do? Would you continue that practice? Carrie Lake, R., Arizona gubernatorial candidate. Dana, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that figure you just put out. We have a million gotaways. These are people who are intentionally entering this country, mainly through the Tucson sector and we don't know what their background is. End video clip. Carlson, well, exactly, because that was the masterclass right there for all Republican candidates. Never agree to the premise of a biased question. Well, it just so happens that 99% of these people are totally law-abiding, but on to the next. Whoa, 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 wait. That's not true, actually. And the point is, we can't know if it's true because we don't know who all these people are. That's the key point. That's what Carrie Lake said. So, according to the Biden administration's own estimates, nearly a million illegal migrants managed to evade detection and sneak into the country since the beginning of fiscal year 2021. So, how many of those have pre-existing criminal records? Well, we don't know. We have no idea. We know they're using all fake documents here in the United States, the one you'll get arrested for if you dare to use. We also know that they broke federal law by definition, by sneaking into our country without permission. So, to avoid that problem, the CNN anchor focuses on the number of migrants encountered, but a lot of those migrants are criminals, too. They are again breaking federal law with fraudulent asylum claims, but you're not allowed to notice that. The good news is, a lot of people are noticing that. This is all a lie. It's a tissue of lies, and it's coming apart. Now, the Republican Party in Washington, we hate to tell you this, is lame as it's ever been. It's controlled opposition, obviously. But the good news is voters are genuinely sick of it and that's why Carrie Lake in Arizona and Blake Masters also in Arizona will likely win and why Adam Laxalt will likely win in Nevada. And it's why you're seeing conservatives surge in places that Biden won easily just 2 years ago. That would include the 5th Congressional District, Connecticut. We're going to talk to a Republican running there in a minute and it would include the state of Michigan. Tudor Dixon is running for governor of that state. She has closed the gap with perhaps the worst governor in the United States, Gretchen Whitmer. Here is Tudor Dixon's message. Begin video clip. Tudor Dixon, R., Michigan gubernatorial candidate, a lot of people want to have families. In this state, we don't have support from the governor for families unless they look exactly the way she wants it and you know what that looks like these days? Looks like single moms. No, not single moms, single women working. That's like her dream for women. Single women working. Last time I checked, that was a pretty lonely life. End video clip. Carlson, so, to Tudor Dixon, as we just told you, is running for governor in Michigan. In a normal year, you'd have to say, well, Michigan is a union-dominated Democratic state. It elected Gretchen Whitmer. Tudor Dixon has no chance. This year, not only does Tudor Dixon have a chance, it looks like she's going to win. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.